Well, again, good evening. Just want to thank you for allowing us to be here, allowing us this opportunity to give a report and to preach. Just sometimes you can't express in words how thankful you are for the things that God has done in your life and the people that God has used in your life. And I don't think sometimes there's just no words to express the thankfulness and to express your gratitude other than just to say thank you, but it's so much deeper than that, if that makes sense. But I guess we ought to probably just get to work here. Turn to Acts chapter number 1. And just want to, you know, in the day and time that we're in and just with everything that's going on, I think that we need to examine ourselves and to see what we're focused on, what our attention is set on, and to see where we're at in our walk. And you know, one of the things is, I don't know exactly how many days or how many weeks that we have had to meet through internet and through this means, but we can certainly say one thing: you've had a lot of time on your hands. How many people have used that to utilize their extra time in spending time in the Word of God, in prayer, and praying for others? You know, we're supposed to be doing that. You know, we should encourage one another to these things. But we certainly have had a lot of time and a lot of time to reflect but to meditate also on the Word of God. And just want to challenge you as a way of introduction is, you know, have you been doing that? Have you had your extra time and everything in the Word of God? And where's your focus at? Because that's the title of the message here this morning, or this afternoon, I'm sorry, is what your focus is. Let's go ahead and just read Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom ye had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto him, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Kind, most gracious Heavenly Father, just want to thank you so much, Father, for this afternoon. And Father, I ask that you please just bless these services that we're having. Bless your word, Father. You know how you want to work in every individual heart. I pray, Father, that you would work. Use your word, use your servant, Father, please. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we understand, I know you all know how we got the book of Acts and everything, but we understand that Luke, the physician, was the human author of the book of Acts, and we understand that it's a history book of the first New Testament church, the first church, that from that church birthed all other churches. That's why we're here today, and we understand this. This is a history book. And you understand that, you know, there's a lot of things that are everything in there we can learn from. Amen, that's right, because everything in the Word of God we should learn from. And so we understand that in context here, we see in verse number 8, where we want to focus, is, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. We understand by context Jesus Christ is speaking here. This is his ultimate saying to his church. He's telling them what they're to be doing. And he starts this off, but he says, but. So that we understand that we're supposed to look back. Well, why is he saying but? We understand this word means howbeit or contrawise, but what? You know, they had asked a question in verse number 6. In verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they were gathered together. When they were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. You know, he says here, he says, but in verse number 8. You understand that the way Christ is answering them, they ask a question in verse number 6. You know, he says, at this time, they said, at this time will thou restore again to the kingdom of Israel. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power, but you understand that Christ is, what he's telling them here, and what we understand here, is there's things in God's providence that he doesn't allow us to know. When's Christ coming back? You know, I spoke to a preacher here a while back, and when I said this saying, he looked at me like I was just ignorant. And, you know, Christ could come back in 5 minutes, 5 years, 50 years, 500 years, or 5,000 years. It's the truth. I don't know when he's going to come back. My personal desire would be, hey, right now, Lord, it's okay. Just come on back. But the thing is, we don't know. We don't know when he's going to come back. That is in God's providence. And there's no need for us to know. There is no need for us to know. There's things that we don't need to know. These Jews here, the Jewish folks here, they were talking about this physical kingdom. Well, now at this time, restore again the kingdom to Israel. This physical kingdom, they were always worried about that. You know, that was their default, almost. They always default. Well, right now, is this the time? They were always wanting to know. But God in His providence has established a time for that. And it's not for them to know, or us. He's established a time. He tells them, he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put his own power. In verse 7, he says this. It's almost like, you know, if we were to use, you all know that I was born and raised in Southeast Missouri. You know, he was saying it was none of your business. You don't need to know that. That's not why you're here. God has placed this in his own power. Who can take that away from God? Who can change that? Can we? It's in God's power. We cannot change that. It's in God's power. You know, they didn't have this power, this knowledge, because God had not given it to them. We can learn a lot from that. You know, there used to be a popular saying that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. When I was growing up, now it's almost like ignorance is power, almost. But knowledge is power. But this is something that they did not need to know. They did not need to know this. If God, you know, do you understand? Do you understand that if God wanted us to know the exact date, if God wanted us to know the exact time, guess what we would know? We would have knowledge of it. We can learn a lot from this. They didn't know this because God didn't want them to know it. And how can we apply this to our lives? Today, in 2020, you know, in the ministry and in general, I've met a lot of folks concerned about a lot of different things. And it seems like it changes. It goes in cycles. It's up here and down here and it goes like that. But a lot of folks are concerned about a lot of things. For example, some of the folks, one of the families that we led to the Lord in Chile when we first met them, always concerned about end times events. Pastor, what about this in Revelation or here or this in Daniel and all these different questions? And, you know, I finally got to the point to where I was just like, you know, We're going to be able to see all these things one day and have a perfect knowledge. And I think that it'd be better just to wait and just do the work that God's called us to do. That's how I handled that. Maybe later Pastor Merrick can say, that was a dumb way to handle that. That's the way I handled that, because I was just tired of just all these endless questions. It was just endless. You'd answer one, then there would be another one, and another one, and another one. It was just like, where are we going here with this? That's not what we're to be focused on. It's not. You know, it's not a bad thing to know. Don't take it that I'm saying, Brother Pittman's saying it's a bad thing to know about that. No, it's a wonderful thing to know and understand. But when that becomes my focus, it is a problem. You know, I've learned, we've met folks that that have been concerned and been with all the problems in their lives. Can I tell you something here? That if the devil can get us to take our eyes and our focus off Jesus Christ, off the work, off the job that we have to do, he'll do it. He'll take it right away from us. You know, I learned that in Bible Institute, and I've learned it by experience, that if he can get you so bogged down in your circumstances of life and the different things that's going on, well, how can we put that away when it's part of our life, Brother James, Brother Pittman? You know, we just have to focus on Christ. Well, it's easy to say, hey, trust me, I understand. Sometimes our default for these Jews, the Jewish people here, was the kingdom, the physical kingdom. Our default needs to be what, do you think? The kingdom of God. Our default. Well, how's this going to affect the kingdom of God? How's this going to affect the work that Christ wants us to do? You know, they were focused. On something else other than what Christ wanted. Well, how can I tell what my focus is? Well, I want to use this example here in context here. Let's just look. If we look into Scripture here, look at the context of when this is happening. In context, Christ spent three and a half years in ministry with these men, building this first church, because he said, I will build my church. He did it. He built it. And he spent all this time with them. He was crucified. He was buried for 3 days and three nights, and he rose again. This is the immediate context of this. For 3 days and three nights, and he rose again. In verse number 3, what does it say here? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking to them pertaining of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So 40 days he'd been seen of them, just saying hello. But it says here, speaking to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What are some of the things? You know, what did he teach them about the kingdom of God? Well, in Luke chapter 17, verse 21, that it was within them. You know, what did he show them during his ministry, during his time? You know, during this time also, that he was the Christ. Well, how could Christ be risen again from the dead? Because he's God. Christ is God. He showed them that he has this power. I mean, hey, of all the power in the world, out of all the power, I mean, we could talk about the power that God had to create the heavens and the earth and create all the universe and everything. But hey, we believe that by faith. But they got to see God raise one from the dead, that power. Do you understand this? They just saw that power. They saw him crucified. They saw him, and they saw him be buried. They saw that he had this power, that he was the Christ, he was the Savior. Thomas, after the resurrection, had a time of doubt. Thomas was a strong man. There's other scripture that supports that statement. But what did he say after his doubt? John 20, 28, my Lord and my God. He showed them these things. You know, what was he giving them? What had he given them? The commission. The Great Commission is what we call it. It's a mission. It's what we're supposed to be focused on. He says, go ye, in Matthew 28, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He told them to go. He had given the command to preach, teach, and baptize. And you understand all this context, all this, the things that they saw and they had experienced. And what's it say? What's it say? When they had an opportunity here. You know, he gave them the command to preach, teach, and baptize. And the first question they had before he was getting ready to leave was what? Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? All that. All 3.5 years. 40 more days. All that that they saw. And it says when they were gathered together, at this time now, Lord, the kingdom for Israel? I guess my being simple, there's a word for that, but my simpleness, I see that as not on focus of what God wants. They were worried about this physical kingdom, and Christ had been teaching them things pertaining to what? The kingdom of God. A spiritual kingdom that was within them. And so we see this. Hey, we could make an application here. We could say, you know, sometimes our focus on the United States of America gets us off topic, gets us out of focus of the Great Commission and what God wants us to do. Well, we got to reach them here too. I understand that. I'm just saying. Sometimes when we just need to turn it a little bit and focus in, like the camera's focused in right now. But the thing is, you know, they were off topic. They were off focus. You know, they should have been focused on his commands on what they were to do, not focused on something unrelated to what he wanted. You know, we see that they weren't focused on what he wanted. You know, I mean, we can look back through history here, and we can look back at if this is what they should have asked. Well, what would have been some good questions for him to ask before he left? Some further instruction, no? I mean, think about it. You know, Christ is getting ready to leave. I mean, this is his ultimate time with them, okay? He's getting ready to ascend. This is their last few minutes with him. And, well, they didn't know that. We don't know when our last few minutes or our last time is going to be either. We need to be focused on what God wants. I think some good questions would have been, I mean, for me, I would have been, now, what did you, just one more time, can we go over what we were supposed to teach and observe? Some questions I've had on the mission field. Now, what did we learn here on this? What am I to teach? How am I to teach this? I mean, this is a grand responsibility, is it not? The responsibility, the job that we have is so immense and so big, I would think that we could doubt ourselves a little bit and say, hey, can we review this just one more time? Can we, hey, I just need to understand this just a little bit better. What's the best form to teach this, Lord? How did you teach us to teach? That's a good question. Where? Just one more time. Lord, please don't be angry. Don't leave just yet. Just one more time. Can we review everything here? Where am I to do this? For how long? What was the commission to us? One more time. We want to do a good job for him. We say that the most precious thing God has done and given us is salvation, right? Well, how are we using it? I mean, honestly, if that is the most precious thing that we have, our salvation, our Lord, how are we using it? How is He using us to further His kingdom? These are just some things that we should ask ourselves. You know, they should have asked themselves, and we, of course, can ask ourselves, how can I tell what my focus is? Well, by this same standard. What's the very first thing that's occupying my thoughts? Hey, it's easy to get bogged down in problems. Let me tell you, it is. What's the first thing that comes to my mind? What's the first question that I ask? What's the first action that I take? What's the first thing that I do? The action that I take. Where's my focus? I think that's a good question for us to ask. What is my focus? Well, what's yours? Where is it? What is it? You know, what's the first thing that came to your mind? What's occupying your thoughts? You know, that's most likely what you're focused on. Most likely. Was it your family? Hey, we can certainly have problems with family. Was it your job? Was it this whole situation with the COVID-19? Was it your health and part of that? Was it your finances, your home, your ministry, or a specific problem in one of these areas? We should try and strive to keep everything in perspective of our main thing to do, I think. If we're given this command, and it's so, you know, the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important that Christ died for it. And many of the first folks in this church did also. What should be my focus? You know, many of our forefathers, antepasados, they died for the faith. They gave up ground, jobs, money, notoriety. They gave up so many things for the faith. I think that many of them were focused. Hey, this is the kingdom. One's eternal. It's going to be eternal. So if we ask ourselves these things, we need to get to the point in time to give a good answer of what's the central part of my thinking. What am I to be doing? Well, I would think that it's what Christ is saying here in his last verse. This is the last thing recorded. Isn't that something? Of him speaking. You know, we understand that what do we do if we're off focus? We're off topic. We're off whatever God wants us to do. Well, we confess. We get it right with him, right? And, you know, you understand he won't throw us away. He'd be like, come on, son, let's get back to work. That's just a great thing. You know, so if we go on here, that, you know, what's your focus? He says, but here. But, you know, we understand that he goes on here a little bit more in the verse. That's one point. What's your focus? What are you focused on? Well, you know, okay. So now, you know, it should be the kingdom of God. It should be what Christ wants. Well, what does he want here? He says, but ye shall receive power. You know, you understand that this word shall is a big word in the English language. But what I want you to get out of this word shall, what I want you to see in this word here, you shall receive power, is that it's a promise or a command or a determination. It implies a promise or a command or a determination. But here's what I want you to see is, and it has the full force of a promise in the person uttering it. Hey, I can go to a bum on the street and be like, hey, will you do this? I shall do that. Well, it's not going to have a whole lot of force, is it? If he doesn't. But the thing here is, who is speaking this? Who's the one uttering this, saying, ye shall receive power? It's Christ. So it's going to happen. It's a command. It's a promise. You know, we read this, and he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He uses that word twice here. And so, you know, we see here that it's a promise, it's a command, and it has His force and His strength behind it, that it's going to happen. In Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That was pretty important to us in the day of our salvation, that was going to happen, that it was a promise, it was a command. You know, we see, you could read in Romans, all in Romans 10, how many times the word shall is, but it's an important word. It doesn't mean maybe or perhaps. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that, well, if God hears. It's going to happen. It's a promise, is it not? So He promises us that we shall receive power. You know, it's a promise. It's a promise. And it has the full His full force, His full power behind it, saying that we will receive power. Isn't that, in a missionary term, isn't that neat? I mean, come on. That's cool. God that made all the heavens and the earth said, let it be, let there be light, all these different things. He says, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses. It has the full force of Him. We're not getting it. Sometimes I don't get it by the way I live. I mean, think about it. If we have this power, how come sometimes I live powerless? If it's definite, why sometimes is it not that in my life? We have the same power today. It's not like, well, Brother Pam, and they had a different... No, really? I have the same... I'm pretty sure it's the same Holy Spirit of God living within me that lived within Peter. Sometimes my mouth shows that. Some of the things I say. But that's not by the Holy Spirit of God. But the same, just think about this. We have the exact same thing. Do we not have the same salvation they had? We have the same power, the same Holy Ghost. And we, you know, it's been taught here a million times that we received all of the Holy Ghost that we're going to get on the day of our salvation. And that's the truth. He says, ye shall receive power. It's a promise. So we have it. We have this knowledge. We have this power. But also, we don't have an excuse. But here he says, ye shall be witnesses. It's the same shall. Oh boy. Me? Witness? I'm just too timid to. Well, he says we have the power. He says that we have the strength. We have this through the Holy Ghost. It's not anything on our part that we're doing. Anything that's, well, hey, look at how grand I am. No. It's look at how grand my Lord is. Look at the power that He has. And he says here, we'll be witnesses. You know, we understand this witness. You know, we could say that, hey, yes, of course, most of these men died as martyrs. We could say that's what was their witness was. Well, why did he not use the word why did he use the word witness and not martyr here? Is a good question. He used the word witness here because they were to give a testimony, or they were to give a testimony or a fact or event of what God had done, one that which furnishes proof or evidence. That's what we're to do. One who gives a testimony to what? I mean, come on. We can ask to what? Well, what has God done in your life? I can personally give testimony that Jesus saves. He saved my life. He changed me. He made me a new creature in Christ. I am a different person now than ever I was before. I can give testimony that on how He's changed my life in specific areas that He's changed my life. I can give testimony that He is the Christ. There's no other. It's only Jesus. Jesus the Christ. He is the Christ. I can give testimony, you know, sometimes negatively and sometimes positively, that you will reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit. I can give testimony that the Word of God is true and what it teaches is true. I can give testimony that he will never leave thee or forsake thee. I can give personal testimony to that. I can give testimony how he's been good to me and good to my family, good to the ministry, his ministry. We could go on and on. We can give testimony to the fact that, hey, if we get off focus, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, or forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. I can give personal testimony to that. I can give testimony of what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. What he will do, Brother Pittman? Yes, because I have faith in him. He will do these things. We can give testimony to these things. We can be a witness. You know, if we give witness to lead someone to the Lord. Well, me? Really? Are you saved? If you are, you have enough. You have enough knowledge to lead someone else to the Lord. You have that. We can give witness. We can give testimony. We can tell about Jesus. He says here, ye shall be witnesses. Now that shall is a determinate promise, right? He says both. You know, an interesting thing, just as a side note, both here is not in all Bibles. It's missing out of a few. But it's interesting that here is alabase in Spanish, this both. It's missing out of a lot of Spanish Bibles also. So we could say, well, we're witnesses here. We don't need to worry about anywhere else. But he says both. He says both. It's important. The words are important. Hey, and faithful translations of the Word of God are important so that we can understand these in other languages and preach and teach in other languages that the truths of what God says. We understand here he says both. He says in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Well, that's four places, Brother Pittman. He says both. Well, it denotes two parts or members of a sentence. If you want to break it down for a missionary, I break this down as near and far, right? Here and there. But can I tell you something here? That's so important. You know, this Jerusalem and Judea is here, it's near. Here and near. Hey, that rhymes. It's here, it's near. But here's something interesting. I believe that this starts here, literally here, in this congregation. He says, ye shall be witnesses. Turn to Hebrews, chapter number 10. Brother Pittman, we're in Corona. We know where you're going in verse number 25. Well, you don't know where I'm going. But we are in Hebrews 10. It is in the Bible. I'll find it here in a minute. This is the biggest fear of a preacher, not being able to find something in the Bible here. So Hebrews chapter number 10. I want you to look at verse number 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What's it say at the end of that? For what? He is faithful that promised. His full force. His promise. He's promised us. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke into love and to good works. That's before the part about assembling. It's important. It's important that as part of this assembly, a part of our local church, that we provoke one another. Well, I like provoking my brothers. Not in that sense. What's it say? Unto love and good works. I need that every now and then. I need a brother or sister in Christ to prod me along every now and then, to provoke me. It says, unto love and good works. You know, I would think that this would mean that it wouldn't mean that I would hold a grudge against another brother or sister in Christ, though that's easy to do. But that's in my flesh. When I'm doing what God wants me to do here, I'm provoking my brother or sister in Christ, not holding a grudge. I'm provoking him unto love and good works. Together. Hey, we're supposed to do this commission together. And I believe it starts here. It starts in our congregation. It starts here. I'm supposed to give a witness to my brothers and sisters of what God is doing in my life. maybe a personal testimony. Hey, it's okay. You know, if we're boasting, it's one thing, but the Lord knows our heart. But if we honestly, if we go to, hey, brother, I just want to tell you what the Lord has done this week in my life. That might provoke them unto love and good works. Their faith in the Lord. Hey, brother, let me show you how God fulfilled His verse of never leaving me and forsaking me here this last year. You understand? We're supposed to have this. It starts here with us. It starts here with us. And we should have a good testimony here amidst, in our midst, among us. I should have a good testimony with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And if I don't, what's the Bible say? If my brother has aught against me, I need to go to him. It'd be like, hey, brother, I'm sorry. Whoa, that's a hard one to say every now and then. That was not very intelligent of me to say what I said. I didn't say that with thinking about my words. And I know that according to this verse, that wasn't the phrase or what I said did not provoke you unto love or good works. I apologize, brother. Please forgive me. Or sister. Or wife. Or pastor. Please forgive me. I messed up. To any of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because that's the spirit that God has put within me. The spirit of humility. We're supposed to be doing this here, starting here. And then with our testimony, our love towards one another, we go out in our communities. Man, here, you all know Concordia, Warrensburg, Sedalia. Don't forget Lamont now, come on. There's a whole bunch of Spanish folks there. You know, Windsor, all the different areas. You understand that with our testimony and our the way that God has stuck us together, united us is the word, united us, we go out. But it wouldn't, you know, that's not all what he said. Well, we're supposed to be doing it not only here, and it starts here and amongst us, if you'll give me that leeway there. But afuera, outside, and then to Samaria. The Jews and the Samaritans had a super good relationship. They loved one another so much. Even to folks that we don't really care for out there. You know, one of the biggest things about they say about being a missionary is culture shock. And sometimes You get into a culture, you get into a community or an area of ministry, you're like, I just don't know why these people act this way. I don't know why they do this way. Well, a good thing to do is just to step back and be and have this attitude. I've not always remembered this attitude, but to have this attitude is, there must be a reason that they do things this way. Let's figure it out. And after I figured it out, why they do it that way, why this works this way, to, if I need to help improve it, or, you know, just go with it. Our services aren't exactly, I mean, they're not exactly like, don't go exactly like our services here. But, I'm happy to say, Pastor, they're in order. We have an order of services. We try to do things decently and in order. But the thing is, it looks just a little different. Well, is it because it's bad? No, it's just different. It's just the way that it works. You know, and we're starting to miss those things. You know, I like hearing the acoustic guitar. It's not anything other than that. The plain old acoustic guitar playing our hymns. I love singing psalms, you know. We love doing that stuff now. At first, it was like, this is a little different. But now, you know, I think that maybe it's the all things to all men or something. I don't know. The thing is, the even things that we don't understand. It says here to the uttermost. Samaritan to the uttermost. Let me give you something here. You all understand the form or the way that that God called us to be missionaries to the country of Chile. And so, well, if you don't, I'll give you my understanding of what happened in my life. From what I, this is my understanding, is that before God called me to be a missionary to the country of Chile, God called this church, put it on the heart of this church, our church, to plant churches in Chile. You understand that? I so believe that that's the way it's supposed to work. I think that we'd have less missionaries having problems and different things if people would just wait on God to work through the church. I'm sorry, I just believe that. But the thing is, God, our church was praying. Our church had enough in their heart to go and take a missions trip to Chile. They come back with this prayer that they had. And, you know, God used all that. God used my pastor. Imagine that. The man that God has put in my life to help mold me and guide me. And God called me through all that. Isn't that, you know, that's kind of the way I believe that the New Testament works. Through the church. And so we see this here. We see that God did this. But here's the reason I'm telling you this is this. Just an interesting thing. To the uttermost, to the ends of the world, right? To the ends of the earth. I'm not making this up. Y'all can look up on Wikipedia, all right? Y'all can check this out. Not promoting Wikipedia, but it works for my illustration here. You know, there's a history or one story about how the country of Chile got its name. It's not because it's shaped like a chili pepper either. That's nowhere in any history. It's an old urban legend, I guess. But the thing is that there's different histories about, well, there was men from a valley that was called Chile, and they were something, and then the Spanish called this the country Chile. Then there's another one. The one that I like is this. You all understand that we're in the ninth region of Chile, and the ninth region of Chile has the highest population of Mapuche folks, the indigenous people in Chile. The highest population of that is in our region. Our region of about a million people, I believe it's like 400,000 of them are Mapuche. That's pretty neat. And it's interesting. But one story about how the country of Chile came to get its name is that it's an old Mapuche word that literally means the end of land, the end of the earth. Or it means seagulls. But I like the end of the earth, the end of land. It makes sense. You come over the Andes, you have on average 150 miles of land and you're at the ocean. It's the end of the earth. And it goes down to the tip of South America. But we're to preach and be witnesses unto the uttermost. You know, if we look here, what I've written here, it's to the uttermost, to the end of the earth. What did Christ say here? He said, unto the uttermost parts, the uttermost part. Well, when he gave his commission in Matthew 28, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, all people groups. You know, in Mark chapter 16, he says, preach the gospel to every creature. And in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And here it says, unto the uttermost. The uttermost part of the earth. You know, when I have about 30 years of being a missionary, I'm going to write a book, Missionary to the Ends of the Earth. I already have the title. I just need to have all the experience in it to put in it. But we're to go and and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, when Paul said one of the verses on our earth on our video, he said that he came back and he gave a report of all things that he taught and he preached and that God had done. I want to tell you all that we taught those folks what we were taught here. And we saw God change lives, work in people's hearts. It's not unlike the way God worked in my heart here. You know, the other day I was here, I was doing some work on a couple things, and I was doing one of those video calls with one of the men. And I walked him around, and I told him, I said, I walked him right up to here. I said, Hermano Victor, Brother Victor, I said, right here, at this part of the altar, I answered a call to be a missionary to Chile. And, well, Brother Pittman, it's just a place. Well, that place wouldn't be any good without that place in my heart. You understand? We've taught what we were taught, and what we were taught is faithful to this. The thing is, it's important to every creature. That's an interesting word. It's almost like to every single person, no matter what you think of them. You understand? We could give you testimony and give you tell you how you know we got into one Mapuche community, and that we won a couple of folks to Christ, and that this man named Jose was in his early 50s, and when we gave him the Bible, it was the first Bible that he had ever had in his entire life. 50 years. 50. That's just, I mean, to me as a gringo, as an American, I'm like, well, everybody has a Bible. They didn't. His family, his little girl, had one little blue Gideon's New Testament. That's all their family has ever had. We could tell you about the family of Daniela that you saw in the video, of Victor. We could tell you about them. We could tell you about Guillermo. We could tell you about Kayla and Christian. We could tell you about Diego and Luisa. We could tell you about David and Esther. We could tell you about all these different folks, Danielle Harrison. We could tell you about our man Walter. He's a Haitian. We, on our video that we got to show, you know, when I was putting it together, I was like, you know what? this may sound mean, but all the folks that we baptized and that we went to the Lord that aren't with us now, we're not putting them in a video. All those folks you saw are still members of the church. And so we could give you a history and give you and tell you personally about them, about how God's working in their lives. And that's what God wants us to do. To be focused on His commission, His commands, focused enough on the kingdom of God that He's going to use us to affect and infect others. You understand? And we can give a history or a story of that and tell folks about that. We see here that to the uttermost, and you understand that we just came from the uttermost. And we're here now. We see this. Christ gives this command in verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, so he was done, while they beheld. You know, this beheld, this is it means to fix your eyes upon with full attention, to observe with care. And there's some folks that, you know, if you look at this, it's important in the manner and the order that things are in the Bible. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld. So do you understand that he spoke these things to them? He got their attention back. He got them refocused. And it says, and while they beheld, while they fixed their attention upon him. What does it say? He was taken up. Some people say, well, it was their miraculous way that he was being taken up, that they were their attention was fixed. No, it was his words that they had their attention. Do you understand? And that's a great lesson for us as preachers and missionaries and ministers, that if we can't get their attention with the Word of God, then everything else is vain. Because that's what's got to get their attention. And so here, while they beheld, they got to see a miraculous event. Hey, I think it'd be pretty cool to watch just... And then they're like this. They're like, five more minutes would have been okay. Oh, Lord, you spent 40 days. Could you not another? But now he had their attention. He had their attention. He had their attention enough to where they followed him with their eyes up, and they were looking up into heaven that they didn't even notice the angels standing in white apparel next to him. If you think about that, they're all looking up, and then these angels are standing there in white apparel. That's something that to behold right there, right? And so we see here, he had their attention, and they got to see something miraculous. But also, what'd they do after this? They went and they took care of some business. They had a business meeting, they took care of some business that needed taken care of. And then, later on, it says that they turned the world upside down. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ because Christ had their attention here. I think that's just amazing. In closing, you know we can still have the same kind of influence that would last not only 2,000 years, but for all of eternity. We have that power to have that same kind of witness, that same kind of testimony, that same kind of influence that'll last for eternity through the power of God. Through the power of God. We just need to focus in on what He wants. He has a job for us to do. I mean, come on. I mean, you think about this. I've said this from the pulpit there and from different places that, you know, when the king of everything, the King of Kings, when he calls us, says, "Hey, I got a job just for you." That's a big deal. Sometimes we don't look at it like that. It's huge. That's a term from, you know, the president. It's huge. It is. It's the biggest thing. It's the best thing that could ever happen. And do you understand what he says here? He says, "But ye," plural, talking to that church, "you all, ye shall receive power." We all have it. We all have it. And he tells us, you, singular, will be a witness. It's not just for the church. We're supposed to do it here. We have the power, but we personally have to be doing our part, you. So the question here is, what's your focus? If God needs to regain or have your focus anew, what do you need to do? Confess. Ask Him to forgive you. You got to admit that you were wrong. You have to say, "What? You know, hey, Lord, I've let all these different things get my attention. I've let all these things rob me and rob me of my joy, to be honest. Please forgive me and get me refocused on you, on what you want, and get busy in the work." I think that with the same power that they had here, that we could, it could be said of us in 2,000 years later, they turned the world upside down. We still have it. Sometimes what we fail in is believing it. What's your focus? Does he have your attention? Let's pray.